This week on Pop of Culture, Long Haul Paul.
I've been stuck in my head so long wondering, dude, come on, you can't even get through Atlanta rush hour traffic without dropping an F-bomb. You people like you do not release gospel.
The musician and trucker shares his creative process behind his new album.
We'll also learn about music therapy in Anderson. And we'll achieve fusion.
What?
With glass. Coming up,
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by Psi Iota Xi. Additional support comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations, and sustaining members of IPR. You can support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
From IPR, this is Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette.
And I'm Jen Blackmer. Later this hour, we learn more about music therapy.
But first, do we have a treat for you today. We are here today with Paul Marhoefer, also known as Long Haul Paul. He is the husband to Denise and father to Audrey and Anna. Paul is a freelance writer, podcast host, over the road, part-time trucker, and singer-songwriter. Today, we are talking with Paul about his new album that is dropping on Thanksgiving Day 2024. Thank you for being here today, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having us again, Kara. It's always great to come back to this station. I also want to give a shout out to two other siblings that you've not met, our sons John and Jordan, because they'll probably be listening to this.
Please do.
And I don't want them to think they were disowned.
Sorry, John and Jordan. Well, today, can you talk a little bit about how this album came to be and tell us the title of it?
Sure.
I hear there's a bit of intrigue around that.
Well, we were going to call it Highway Prayers, and Billy Strings just released an album on his own called Highway Prayers. It's the hottest bluegrass album since Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's number one right now. Well, we can't very well do that. After about our third cup of coffee every morning, we continue to rechristen this album. But everything's going to the CD presser in 2 days, so we're just going to have to pull the trigger on one of them. And how this album came to be was, it seems like a lot of creative bursts in my life, for better or worse, are precipitated by a crash. In April 9th, 2001, I was in a multi-trauma accident, and I broke my neck, and it changed my singing voice. And my brother, speaking of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, flew down to Miami, and he gave me that CD with one of those EarPod CD players, you know. Do you remember those back in the day? And man, I'm just jacked up on morphine. I've got 7 broken bones, and I'm singing my heart out to, you know, these Ralph Stanley songs. And the nurse's assistant walked in, and she goes, "You some kind of rock star?" And like, I'm kind of liking this broken neck, the way this broken neck is making my voice sound. And I don't recommend any of your listeners undergo that procedure to like launch their late life musical career, but that's what happened. So that's the first crash that precipitated a creative burst. Now, this particular project was precipitated by an incident on Christmas Eve of 2023. I was trying to get home, make it for at least Christmas dinner, and I was in Nebraska, 30 miles east of Ogallala, and all of a sudden, a set of duals came away. Like, so semi-tires have, you know, 18 wheels, and they're mounted in duals. Well, if you don't grease them properly, or if a tire shop did not tighten the bolts properly, they can come away. So you've got like a 700-pound projectile rolling right at you. And like, I saw it come over the median, and I didn't know what to do. It's like a deer when it decides to like end its life on your grill, and it, boom, that thing hit me. And I came, I was cursing, and I came over the median, see? And now I'm coming right into eastbound traffic. Wow. I thought I'm certainly going to die. And somehow I didn't. And so I spent Christmas Eve in the North Platte Comfort Inn And all the restaurants were closed, and I got two Kraft mac and cheeses and two popcorns for my Christmas Eve supper. And I sat there, and something just said, any luck getting those gospel songs you wrote 30 years out? And so this is sort of a project of gratitude, because I've been stuck in my head so long wondering, dude, come on, you can't even get through Atlanta rush hour traffic without dropping an F-bomb. People like you do not release gospel albums. But I came to believe, like, this is more about gratitude than whether I meet a standard as a Christian believer. And so this album is a project of gratitude.
Well, and the old English meaning of gospel is good news, and it's real good news that you lived through that to play another day.
Well, thank you. I've been trying to curse a little less and pray a little more since we've been working on this gospel album, and I hope folks like it. I see this as an album that people who don't like gospel music might like. I call this alternative gospel.
Well, can you play something for us? That would be great.
Sure. This is a song I wrote about 14 years ago. My lead guitarist at the time, I had an old trucker band, and my lead guitarist wanted to rewrite one of my songs, and I didn't want him to rewrite one of my songs, and it was like an acrimonious breakup of a trucker garage band. And you would have thought we were like, you know, one of the great rock bands of all time. We had such high hopes. And then I came home, and I got online, and there was that blood red moon over Jerusalem. And I thought maybe it was the moon. You know what I mean? Maybe the moon caused all that. But okay, here we go. I saw the moon over Jerusalem, it was shining blood and red. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. Back home in Chicago, they were counting up the dead. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. Gunmen walked in line, the students in a row. Tell me, are you a Christian? And answer yes or no. And some they stood up cause they knew where they would go. I think the time's at hand. There's a 100-year flood in Charleston rolling past the AME. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. To bear away the blood of the martyrs to the sea. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. And I saw the bitter pride of the broken and the poor, whose hands were clenched in fists of rage for the banners they once bore, while the old men waited in the wings and pined away for war. I think the time's at hand. Thank you. There's a darkness deep down in me. I try to beat it back by day. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. But nighttime's coming over me and I feel I'm falling away. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. So I've come to these ruins to take my place among the wrecks, the paupers and the fools, for the wise and strong to vex. 'Cause there's no one left who's noble and there's nothing I expect. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand. I think the time's at hand.
Thank you. I'm kind of speechless.
That's kind of a dark song, but I mean, it's sort of, I don't know if it's depressing, but I just, yeah, it was right at the breakup of my old trucker band that I wrote that.
I think we can all, like, you know, I was overlaying my own meaning on the song and just feeling intensity, not necessarily depression, but just the intense feelings come through.
So, Muncie, Indiana, circa 1959, when I grew up, nobody said it better than Jason Wilbur, who was John Prine's right-hand man, and he had his own music show on NPR for many years. But he said Indiana, Ohio, these states were really where the Midwest met the South. And we were surrounded by Southern emigres. Who I am musically really stems from one of these specific Southern emigres who came up here. And my father was a well-to-do man. I never inherited his knack for figuring out how to make a dollar, but he had a union meat company, and I would say well over half of his employees were from the South, from Kentucky, Alabama. And we had domestic help. And one of the ladies that worked for my parents became the most important person in my life. She was an unbelievable gospel singer. And when I got my license and whatnot, I became like a groupie of hers. I would follow her to churches. Her name was Harriet Pope, and she was a black woman who worked for my parents a very long time and became also Denise's and my dearest friend. I try to, most of my albums have a song which pays tribute to Harriet, and she was like what they called a hard shell Baptist, and the traditions among the Baptists, the Southern emigres, that they didn't assimilate into these mainline churches here. They built their own churches and brought their own music, and there were, I've heard people in the churches of Muncie, there's every bit as good as going to the Grand Old Opry, you know, I mean, and they just, and a lot of it was blood harmony, you know, sisters singing together. And that was one thing I love about Pop of Culture is it celebrates these unseen treasures in our community that you wouldn't notice if you're just living your daily life. And that is one of the unseen treasures of this area, I believe.
There's so many artists and creatives throughout our state who they're doing what they love and they're driven by their creativity and their desire to create.
Yeah, it is. It's surprising when you see just how much talent there is. You know, I used to read this guy called Eric Hofer, and he was known as the longshoreman philosopher. And during the Great Depression, he lived on Skid Row in L.A. and just read books voraciously. And then he became a longshoreman during the war. But he made this statement, and it can be applied to any sector of the population. He said, "The Skid Row is lousy with talent." Mm-hmm. In other words, there's talent everywhere. And I think that the whole thing about Muscle Shoals is someone just built, you know, Rick Hall built a place for people to come to. And there was, I honestly don't believe there's any more talent down there than there is up here. But he gave it a space to blossom.
You're listening to Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette. We're speaking with musician and trucker Long Haul Paul. We've been talking about the inspiration behind his new album that releases Thanksgiving Day, November 28th.
I do want to talk about the process of creating, because you've asked about that. And my songwriting is usually triggered by some trauma, some grievance, some... this one did not make the cut for the album, but... we have a dear friend. She was a truck stop waitress for many years in Kentucky. And she called me a few weeks ago from a landline phone. And you know how these newer Apple phones, they'll tell you where they're calling from. And she had been put in a mental institution. And she had lost her son to the opioid addiction crisis, and I have sang this song around the house. Like, look at Denise, like she's shaking her head, like you're not going to sing that song again. But it just made me feel a little bit better, like for her to be seen and heard in this song. And I guess it's a very selfish thing. I write these, you know, that Rick Rubin's got this interesting book out called The Creative Act, I think, and he talks about the law of how the audience comes last. And that seems kind of cold. But if you're not edifying yourself and feeding yourself while you know, sing, you can't live that way, or at least I can't. Maybe there's a sector within the music industry that can, but I can't. And
I have to say, you know, creativity that isn't driven by your desire and your internal voice and what you want to express is something else, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, I'm not saying you can't make money at it or whatever, but it's, I don't feel that's,
I mean, I kind of
artistry.
I agree, and I admire people that can write a song and make money. I write jingles for money, and I enjoy that process.
It's not coming deep from your soul?
No, I can. What am I doing here? All right, now we're golden.
All right.
Well, she called me this morning from a landline phone. She said her daughter took and put her in some kind of home. She asked if maybe I might call little Joe and tell him she can't live this way no more. Now her voice, it was heavy from the Thorazine. She said this coffee that they give me, Paul, it's got no caffeine. Then I thought about that trucker at the 29. He said she lost her son and then she lost her mind. There really wasn't much left for her to do but take to sleeping in her car down at the 22. But I remember when she shined so pretty. They called her Mudflap Girl down at the old Fuel City. Dr. Sackler, Dr. Sackler, can you hear me now? Old Kentucky, she's breaking like a drunkard's vow. Now there's a new little waitress with her hands up on her hips. Don't you come back around here begging and cutting in my tips. There really wasn't much left for her to do but take to sleeping in her car down at the 22. But I remember when she shined so pretty. They called her Mudflap Girl down at the old Fuel City. Sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. It's summertime and the home folks all are gay. The corn tops are ripe and the meadows in the bloom, and the birds they are singing all the day. Weep no more, my lady. Weep no more today. We will sing one song for my old Kentucky home. My old Kentucky home. My old Kentucky home. My old Kentucky home. Far away.
I really, you know, you singing about this woman and talking about Harriet, talking about your being on the road. I feel like the most important thing in our lives is like when we connect with people and, you know, in different ways and the people we love and spending time and celebrating.
That's my perfect concert. There's a guy in Fountain City who hosts us every year, and it's a carry-in dinner. We try to carry something in, and there's about 30 to 40 people there, and we eat, and then I get up and play, and then we just keep the guitar case open, and it beats trucking, and it's not like we're turning down stadiums or anything. And it's, you know, nobody here is talking about critical mass. Nobody here is talking about this thing's going to explode any day now. I just got a call from Cracker Barrel. They're going to put my CDs in all their units. This is just a nice thing that makes life better for me, at least. And I get to hang out with cooler people. I probably never would have gotten to hang out with you folks here at Indiana Public Radio if it weren't for this.
Why, thank you. I think everybody has a different barometer for what their success is, right? And I think ours align, you know?
I've really thought about this a lot lately, and I think success is measured by the amount of time you can spend with the people you care about. And because, you know, if you can never make it home because you're just a slave to debt or something, and you're just right, working all the time, that's real poverty. And I've been there, and we're, things have loosened up on us a little bit now. And we got to go to a football game yesterday, and we saw some people that we really hadn't seen in a long time. And, you know, just got to hug the neck of a man that Denise and I have known for a long time, and that was just such a like it was such a perfect day, you know. Mm-hmm. And we wound up going to Pizza King, and we had a royal feast. you know, the thing about Pizza King, which I don't realize, and maybe you don't realize, but people that leave here and go live some other part of the country, that's what they miss the most about here. And it's hard for me to believe because I sort of take it for granted.
Because it's just right there.
It's just right there.
Well, thank you so much for showering us with riches today. And we are really grateful to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Kara. And this is great. Keep up the good work.
Paul Marhoefer, better known as Long Haul Paul, is a musician and trucker. When he's not on the road, he's at home in Losantville, Indiana. This is Pop of Culture. I'm Kara Duquette.
And I'm Jen Blackmer. Music moves us. Most of us have a favorite song, a go-to karaoke track, or a playlist that we like to cry to. IPR's Thomas Ouellette reports on a company using music therapy in Anderson, Indiana.
I'm Thomas Ouellette, and I'm here with Kirby Gilliam. And what is your official title here over at Plainsong?
I am the founder and owner, CEO of Plainsong Music Services. So Plainsong is Madison County's only soul music therapy provider. We provide services from birth to death, and we use board certified music therapy in a variety of different populations. We work with the Indiana Medicaid waiver, so working with a lot of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Autism is another area we work in, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy. The goal that we want to achieve is things that are non-musical. So if you're coming to me for music therapy, my goal is not to teach you how to play piano. My goal is to increase your fine motor skills so that you can sign your name. And we might do that by playing the piano. So another area in which we work is hospice. So if you are on hospice or palliative care, we can come in and we can help decrease your pain. Because long story short, your brain likes sensory input more than pain. So we can redirect your brain a little bit. Now, I don't want to say like if your leg is cut off, we can fix your pain there. But, you know, some of the more chronic pain we can help with. We use songwriting to express your emotions because we know in like traditional cognitive behavioral therapy that reframing your negative thoughts and actions is what helps you to achieve a better quality of life. So maybe we'll do that by taking the words of your favorite song and making it about you rather than about the artist. So those are three like simple ways that we do music therapy, but my goodness, stroke rehabilitation, traumatic brain injury, you pick and we can do something with it.
Yeah, and I know music therapy as a form of therapy is pretty new. Mm-hmm. And so, most people, I assume, when they hear that, they probably think, oh, I'm sending, this person over here to go, sing some songs or learn some guitar stuff, right? Have you ever dealt with people who assume that's kind of what this is?
Oh, my gosh. Every day. Because music is so personally related. And so we can only speak to our lived experiences, right? So if I have songs that I listen to that are specifically cathartic, then I'm going to relate music therapy to that.
And so why do you think music therapy is gaining popularity?
Because it works. It works, and it works really well, especially in populations that traditional talk therapy doesn't work. If your brain is wired differently, sitting and talking through things may not always work. But the way that our brains, and this is all brains, regardless, I feel like I should put a disclaimer in case a music therapist is listening. Maybe not all brains, but a lot of brains. The majority of brains take sensory input and they take music, and music is the only sensory input that lights up your whole brain. So we're able to retract neuropathways and we're able to come up with detours and all that kind of fun stuff to help you achieve whatever it is you're working on.
And so what do you think kind of gives music therapy the edge over traditional therapy? I know you spoke a little bit about that, how it affects the brain differently, but could you expand on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Your brain has three different areas. The back part is the part that we call it the lizard brain, because that's the part that you don't really have control over. It's where you breathe and your heartbeat. Music affects that. So if you have low vitals in the hospital and we need to increase some vitals, we can immediately target the back of your brain to help increase that. The middle part of your brain is your limbic system, and that's the part that feels emotions. And so if you're somebody maybe with ADHD that feels emotions really, really big, likely what's happening is that third part, that prefrontal cortex, is not speaking to your limbic system. So we can connect both of those pieces of your brain to help you make more sense of the emotions that you're feeling. Also, like if you're a Parkinson's patient, the gross motor area of your brain isn't really getting the information up to where you need to go to function. Music can help increase those neuropathways.
If you could run through like a hypothetical session, say, you know, you have a child who's got some sort of developmental issue, and you know, how do you like enter that? How do you start that process?
Yeah. So let's pretend you're a parent and you're like, this could work for my kid. What you're going to do is you're going to call us, or you're going to go to our website, plainsongmusicservices.com, and you're going to fill out our information sheet. And then you're going to have somebody from us call you and set up an intake. And basically, we're going to ask you a ton of questions about what's going on. And then we'll get you started. You'll come to your first session. You'll have your therapist with you. If you're a minor, you're obviously going to have a guardian with you, at least in your first session. You're going to sign a bunch of consents, just like you do in therapy. And then we're going to learn you. We're going to do 4 weeks of assessment, and we're going to go, what do you like? What are you seeing? What are you not seeing? Do you like to dance? Do you like to play instruments? Where are your great things? Where are your struggles? And then we're going to write a comprehensive assessment. They usually end up being like pages and pages. And then we're going to work with the guardian in this particular situation and come up with a couple of goal areas. If they're autistic, it might be engaging and following directions could be one. And then we're going to use music to elicit those in sessions to practice those skills and track your progress. We're going to teach parents how to use things outside of sessions. We're going to talk with teachers, all the things to create the best quality of life.
And so tell me about this building specifically. How long ago did you like purchase this space?
So this has been an ongoing project since 2022. Everything closed in December of 2023, and we gutted the entire first floor, and we had everything remodeled, and we were operational by July of 2023. So we're talking 6.5 months.
Yeah, so operational, and then I think you said you had your grand opening
September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so how expensive was that whole process?
Yeah, not cheap, but cheaper than building. So it's about $650,000 to do the whole remodel.
Wow. And you mm-hmm. get a nice solid building here too out of all that.
So. Exactly.
And from what I heard before, you guys are kind of, music therapy is a big hit in Anderson.
It is. So it was funny because when I was a music educator first, and then I went back to school because the kids were coming to me like, I'm this, I'm that. And I'm like, I'm not a therapist. I don't know how to help you. So I went back to school for it and didn't understand. This was like 12 years ago at the time that there were not jobs in it. And so I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to be an entrepreneur. And it was really interesting because our community wants this service. We see over 1,000 people a week in Anderson. So it's just nuts to think about. Yeah. So we needed more space because we saw more people and more therapists. There are only like 300-ish therapists in the state of Indiana. There's only 9,000 in the country. And we've got 12 of them right here in Anderson.
When we talked before on the phone, you had some great number statistics and things like that for me. Can you give me some of those now?
Yeah. So I think I was telling you on the phone that in Madison County, 14% of our population based on the last census falls under the intellectual and developmental disability. So if you look at our numbers for that, I think Madison County, Anderson specifically, was like 55,000 people or something. So 14% of that identify with an intellectual or developmental disability, and they could receive services. So I do think it sounds kind of funny to say Indiana's progressive, but in the sense of intellectual and developmental care, we are incredibly progressive compared to the other states. Part of why it's so fun and why I like it so much is that it's not only realizing the potential of your clients and helping them to see that in growth, but it's also recognizing the potential of your employees and seeing what they bring, as well as the potential of your community and seeing what they bring, because community collaboration is literally what has grown all of this.
What is most exciting to you about the future of this?
I think what's most exciting about the future of this is when I think back to when I started this whole thing in 2016, there were no soul music therapy providers like anywhere. I remember having to do my internship up in Fort Wayne. And since I've started this, multiple companies have popped up. More people are going through these services. The universities are putting out more music therapists. And I think more of the mainstream medical facilities and things like that are seeing the benefit of music therapy. And it has just exploded. I think we were projecting in the next 5 years that it was going to be like a $2 billion industry. So the growth is just astronomical.
That was IPR's Thomas Ouellette, reporting from Anderson.
This week, we ask fused glass artist Madeline Heskett, what are you working on? As we were sitting down, Madeline explained to us that fused glass is right in the middle between stained glass and blown glass. Except fused glass is baked in a kiln, like how you fire clay.
And then we can keep it very flat. It can have texture. We could fuse it a second time and slump it into a mold to create a bowl or a plate, something of that sort. So it has some shape to it, but not quite as three-dimensional as blown glass.
Okay, so when you say slump it into a mold, so that means it's melted, it's in a liquid form, and then you put it in a like a shape that becomes a bowl.
Yeah, so you would take a piece of, it is pottery, kind of like bisquare, and we have to coat it so nothing sticks, and then if you have, say, a round piece of glass that's flat, you would set it on top of this round bowl shape. And you would fire it at a lower temperature so that it doesn't quite melt into a puddle, but it allows the glass to expand and fall into that shape and then kind of stay there. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is exciting. Can you talk a little bit about how you found this art form?
Yeah, so my Gram, I learned from her. She is a glass artist out in Tucson, Arizona. That's where I was born.
Shout out to Gram.
Yep. She has her own studio out there. And so when I would go visit as a child and teenager, I started learning how to do some of these techniques from her. And then I think about, it was when I was 18 or 19, I really started to show a big interest in it. So she started mailing me things. I would get boxes of random tools and scrap pieces of glass that I could play with and make wind chimes, things that didn't necessarily have to be fused. And then in 2021, I bought my own kiln and I worked with the Indiana Small Business Development Center to start my business Made by Madeline. So it's kind of been a slow progression, but I'm really excited to be where I am right now.
That's great. What all do you do with Made by Madeline?
I specialize in fused glass, both decorative as well as jewelry, and I make functional pieces. All of my glass is food safe, so you can actually use them as serving dishes if you'd like. But this year, I decided to start doing something new and offer classes. Oh. So I'm partnering with the Culinary Cottage here in Muncie and offering a few classes this winter to do some holiday ornaments. And then we're going to do some more things in the spring.
That is a lot. That's wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about, can you describe one of your pieces? Maybe one that's form and function, because I love that.
Sure. I think one of my favorite pieces that I did recently was a large Monstera leaf. This mold is what we would call a casting mold. So instead of cutting the glass to shape, I use the mold itself to shape the glass. You have to layer different powders or textures of what we call frit, which is like a ground up glass, like sand. Mm-hmm. And so I layer those colors in a way that will show the veining, but still let you kind of see through it. And then I fuse that. And after I pulled that out, then I slumped that, like we were talking about, into a bowl shape. And it made a really beautiful centerpiece for a table. And so I think that's probably one of the bigger pieces I've made. It's about 14 inches in diameter. And I think it's beautiful when I look at it. So
now, what's the color palette of a Monstera leaf? Is it greens?
Yes, it is greens, but it was three different shades of green. And then I mixed the lighter green with black powder too. And then I sifted that into the veining so that you could kind of see that definition.
Wow. Well, do you make art every day?
I would like to.
Yeah.
I do work full-time at Ball State University, so I don't have all day every day to create like I would love to, but I do work in my studio a couple evenings a week, and then I spend a lot of time on the weekends making things.
I feel like there's always, you always try to squeeze in more and more time to do.
Especially at the holidays. The holidays are the busiest time of year making Christmas ornaments. I'm up very late nights around Christmas time.
Now, have you had said that you're going to be teaching some classes at the Culinary Cottage. Have you taught before?
I have taught in other ways. Growing up, I danced competitively and I taught at a dance studio. I have led some greeting card making classes, but this year was the first time that I have started classes, and it was actually made possible by the Indiana Arts Commission. I am a 2024 fellow for their On-Ramp Creative Entrepreneur Accelerator program.
Wow.
So with their grant funding, I was able to buy the supplies I needed to start teaching classes.
Well, so do you feel like that opportunity has helped you to develop your artistic skills in certain ways?
Absolutely. I think that teaching is the final step in perfecting something, mm-hmm. And really kind of helps me hone in on the details a little bit more. And it also, because I tend to be a perfectionist, challenges me to be able to take a step back and appreciate things for the way that they are and all of their imperfections. And it's really fun. I think people are happy when they're creating, and they are pleasantly surprised when they make something beautiful.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. One of my favorite things is when people discover their creativity, especially when they're like, oh, I have none. That's just super exciting.
It is. And that's my one day goal, is to have a place similar in concept to Made in Muncie, you know, a paint your own pottery, but a fused glass place where folks can come and choose a project and sit down and create and come back and pick up later. So that's maybe my 10-year plan.
Oh, do it. Yeah. I feel there will be much interest in that.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, so what's next right now for Made by Madeline?
The two classes that I have coming up at the cottage are on December 4th and December 7th. We're going to make some holiday ornaments. And then you can find me in person at the Luminaria as one of the artisans in their holiday artisan market.
Great. And can you tell us where we can find you on social media?
Yes. I am on Facebook and Instagram, and both are Made by Madeline. Instagram is at M.B. Madeline. M.B.M.A.D.E.L.Y.N.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
The Indiana Arts Commission also supports Pop of Culture. You ready, Kara? It's time for the arts calendar.
Oh, I'm so ready.
All right. Why don't you kick us off?
Okay. Tom Cherry's Old Time Radio Show is back at the Farmland Community Center on November 23rd at 3 p.m. The classic radio comedy, My Friend Irma, will be featured, as well as a new episode of The Mayor of Farmland. A lucky audience member will get a chance to play It Pays to Be Ignorant. And special musical guest Dan Wright will perform.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, Ball State's Opera Theater Program will present The Merry Widow Saturday and Sunday, November 23rd and 24th at Ball State's Sursa Performance Hall. This comedy, with its beautiful music, means a lot of memorable moments, including the Grisette dancers in partnership with the Ball State University singers, duets, trios, septets, and much more. Mm-hmm. This production will be presented in German with English dialogue. BSU.edu has the details.
Das ist gut. The Recovery Cafe in Muncie is hosting an art show and sale Saturday, November 23rd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the cafe. Recovery Cafe members have been working hard to bring handmade art to you. Just in time for the holiday season.
I can't believe it's the holiday season.
I know.
Anderson is kicking off their holiday season with the Festival of Trees Gala Saturday, November 23rd at 5:30 p.m. at the Paramount Theater. The evening will include the music of George Smith on the page organ, dinner, and much more. AndersonParamount.org has more info.
The Indiana Artisan Market is Friday and Saturday, November 22nd and 23rd. At Electric Works in Fort Wayne, this art and food holiday experience is a great place to find gifts. The Indiana Artisan Holiday Marketplace will feature gifts and decor by about 40 artists, fine crafters, and small batch food and beverage makers, whose work has been designated among the best made in Indiana.
The Anderson Museum of Art is having a Bob Ross painting workshop on Sunday the 24th at 2 p.m. Create your own Bob Ross-inspired quiet waterfall painting with certified Bob Ross instructors. All skill levels are invited and all supplies will be included.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
The Tonic Ball is Friday, November 22nd at various venues in Fountain Square. Tonic Ball brings together Indianapolis bands and musicians on the Friday before Thanksgiving. Before Thanksgiving, for the annual music festival in support of Second Helpings. This year, musicians will cover music from Lady Gaga, Hall & Oates, The White Stripes, and Jack White, and Parliament Funkadelic. I love the P-Funk.
Me too.
Tonicball.org has more details.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I've been before. It's pretty great. The Marshall Tucker Band will perform Saturday. Really? The Marshall Tucker Band? Like the actual Marshall Tucker Band. This is not a cover? Okay, great. The Marshall Tucker Band will perform Saturday, November 23rd at the new Gas City Performing Arts Center. You'll get all the hits. Heard It in a Love Song, Can't You See, Fire on the Mountain, and much, much more. GasCityPAC.com is the place to go for more info.
Pop of Culture on IPR is made possible in part by Psi Iota Xi. Additional support comes from the Indiana Arts Commission, the Community Foundation of Randolph County, the National Endowment for the Arts, Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations, and sustaining members of IPR. You can support local programming today at indianapublicradio.org.
And that's our show. This week was produced by Luke Jones, who likes fused glass plants because he can't kill them. Our arts calendar was written by Michelle Kinsey, and our show was hosted by me, Jen Blackmer.
And me, Kara Duquette. Pop of Culture is a production of IPR on the campus of Ball State University.